Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my lonely astronaut friend, Frank. How are you?
Lonely.
Lonely?
Yeah, there's a lot of red rocks around me.
Okay, well, you know that if you really were an astronaut and you really were far away in space, there would be long silences between our conversation, right?
Yes.
Good. Excellent. All right. Well, we sound a bit different today. I want to put that out there. As we all know, because Frank is not really a lone island. We are also joined by a special guest today.
Yes.
One who is so special, he is drinking a different beer than we're drinking.
What?
One who is, may I say, taller than us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One who I may say is... Nope, that's all I got. All right.
More married than either of us.
Ooh, good. Ooh. Good. Hear that? Frank's single. All right.
Well, not exactly. Okay.
It's our friend Damon. Damon, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. No problem. So we're doing it. We're using a different mic because it's three of us. So we might sound a little bit different than we usually do. But fear not. We will be back to regular sounding material. Some other day.
Yeah.
Some other day. Yeah.
Some other time.
Well, we brought Damon on specifically today to talk about his beer. What are you drinking today?
Today, I'm drinking Castle Island Keeper IPA.
It's a good one.
It's delicious.
It is.
It's right down the street.
Yeah, it's local. I like it.
I actually really like the can. I like the green.
Yeah, they have a good look. They're a 16-ounce can.
That's nice.
4 packs.
But if it's an India Pale Ale, why is it made here?
Wow. The world may never know.
It's true.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking Sam Adams, Heaven or Hellas. It's a delicious lager. It's a German Hellas lager. And I like it a lot. It's like a blonde. It's light. It's bright. It's delicious. It's very good.
Bright like you.
Exactly.
Light skinned and bright in the head.
Sam even has a little halo for this one because it's Heaven or Hellas. Hilarious.
Actually, that's not Sam.
Yeah. You're right, it's Paul Revere.
It's Paul Revere.
I did know that.
Yeah.
You told me that.
I did.
You did.
I did. Never believe the history.
Right. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Narragansett Summertime Citra Ale.
Mm-hmm.
There's a nice man who appears to be nude surfing.
No, snow surfing.
He's school bathing suits with big stripes.
No, he's dead. No. But he's wearing a bathing suit on his head, too.
It's a unitard.
He's definitely naked on this can.
It's made of spandex.
He's definitely naked on this can.
And it covers his whole body.
And they were found in 1890. The decency levels have really gone down.
They really have.
You mean
it's
before?
It's made with real citronella.
Ooh, that's fun. I like this can, too. Citronella is not a thing.
No, it's not.
It is.
Not in beer.
Not in beer, though.
No, yeah, real good. I like this too. But I've been drinking this before, so I'm going to open up something probably in the middle of the show.
Sweet.
So, yeah, it'll be a good time.
All right.
Well, I alluded to the fact that you're a lonely astronaut.
Correct.
You have actually put on a spacesuit.
I commit to the bits.
Can you tell us that story?
Sure. So, my story of how I got in this spacesuit?
Yeah, how you got in a spacesuit.
I signed up for NASA.
Yeah.
At NASA trials. On campus. At the NASA ROTC.
Good.
And And they were like, hey, we need somebody to die on Mars. And I was like, oh, me, sir, me. And they were like, cool. And that's why I'm alone dying on Mars, talking to you guys over Skype.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. For viewer purposes, we should know that we've cut out the lags.
Yes.
You know, yes. And so it doesn't seem like this right. Big distance.
The magic of editing.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Oh, what have you seen or done that prompted you to go to Mars? We've committed to this bit. I can't undo this now.
I read a book.
Which book?
The Martian by Andy Weir.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Tell me about that book.
Have you not read it?
No, I have.
Yeah. Oh, then what? Have you read it?
I have.
So then why are we should talk? Oh, we should talk about this.
We should.
Sure.
Oh,
I think
sure.
That's
cool.
That's fine.
All right, cool.
That's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So what would you say the plot is?
I would say, okay, so Mark Watney is a botanist. Watney likes botany. And he is on the third manned mission to Mars, I think it is. And he and his crew are there, and they're collecting their samples of rocks and all this stuff. And then there is a big storm and the big like sandstorm. The whole crew abandons and they're leaving the planet, and Watney gets left behind in all the debris. They think he's dead, so they just like, we gotta go, we gotta save ourselves. The captain has to save the rest of her crew, so she gives the order they're gonna leave Watney behind. They think he's dead. They leave. Turns out he wasn't dead, and now he has to spend the next couple of years, I think it's 500 days, 500 sols, or, you know, mm-hmm. Martian days.
Is it sols or souls?
I said sol, but it's soul, whatever.
I think, yeah. Is it soul? Is it sol?
I think in the movie it's soul.
It's okay, soul. We'll go with soul. Yeah, like, so they, it's 500 yeah, souls, and he soul. Has to, 500 days of summer, and he has to try to live. So since he's a botanist, he learns how to grow crops, specifically potatoes, on Mars, and survive, and use his cunning and his wit to survive until the next crewed mission can get there and pick him up.
Right.
And that's the general plot.
Why is Mark Watney like, and what is it about this story, about the book that made it so enduring? Because Andy Weir tried to publish the book.
Yeah.
And got rejected, so mm-hmm. he decided to release it online in serial formats.
Mm-hmm.
On his blog. And people who were reading it were like, you should, you know, like, submit this to Kindle. Like, I would pay for this. And he was like, oh, I don't know if I want people to pay for it. You know, it's okay. You know, I tried that. It didn't work. I'm happy to give it to you for free. So we put it in the Kindle store for 99 cents.
Because that's the minimum you can sell something for.
Right. And it just exploded from there. And now it's published by Crown Books and it's the movie and all this stuff. But what is it about the character Mark Watney that's so enduring? Mm. Because lots of books get published, mm-hmm. and we don't know the names of any of those characters.
Sure.
The Great Who? Nobody. That's who. Now, you know, a man has no name, but Mark Watney does. So what is it about Mark?
He's the first to become the first international space pirate.
He's a space pirate. Yeah, you are right. But I think you actually landed on something like Mark he landed on Mars.
All right.
Give me a pound for that. All right. Yeah. No, a pound of flesh. God. Right. Don't call me Shylock for nothing. Yeah.
Wow.
I'll be here all day.
Please don't.
Yeah. Guys ever did Merchant of Venice? I did that in high school.
Sure did.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
I did not, but I am familiar.
Okay. Cool. Otherwise, that's just a weird joke. Yeah. So still a weird joke.
Either way, it's a weird joke.
Yeah. So, lost my train.
Why do we know Mark Watney?
Oh, right. Space pirate. So, we live in a pretty cynical world, right?
Sure we do.
Yeah. I like that you just said one word and then decided, like, no, I can do better. I can be more cynical. We live in a pretty cynical world, but right now we're in this age of... We want our characters to give us hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to believe in the self, mm-hmm. and we want to believe that there's something greater to explore and to, you know, I always think of The Truman Show, where he wanted to be an explorer, and the teacher pulls down the map when he was a kid. He's like, I want to be an explorer like Magellan. She pulls down the map. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. Everything else has already been discovered. and that's kind of the world we live in now. And so I think, like, The Martian works so well because it's
the next frontier.
It's the next frontier, and like we're discovering new things that you can grow food on Mars. That like the science is sound, and you can grow potatoes.
I think that's one of the other things that's compelling about the book is that the science, for the most part, actually checks out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Watney is smart and he explains the science in a way that makes sense for the most part. And he, the science is mostly real. Like a lot of it actually, the math and everything is real. In fact, you mentioned that Weir published it on his blog at first. Apparently the version that was on his blog was much heavier in the science and the math stuff.
Oh, and really? I didn't know that.
And when he went to put it on Kindle,
Amazon was like, nobody will understand this.
Well, no, but he was like, maybe I should like soften that up for like the, you know, the normies.
The readers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but it's a very, you know, it's pretty heavy in science and stuff, and it's pretty, it's very compelling in that way, because you're like, wow, this could happen. With all the stars aligned. A guy could get stuck someplace and save himself in this way. It's conceivable.
Hmm. Do you have a fear of like, okay, so I was talking about this with somebody yesterday. Somebody let me try their VR headset.
Oh, sure.
And it was a ocean exploring kind of thing. And okay. You could choose like different animals to like swim around you or whatever. And there's one that you're in a shark cage and there's a great white swimming around you. And it's horrifying because you're like, you got the headphones on and the shark's swimming around you, and you're I was in a swivel chair, so I could swivel like in 360 to look around, and you didn't know where the shark was, and there were other ones where like the waters were murky and animals would disappear and you didn't know where they were going to come back, and it was horrifying. The ocean is a horrifying, horrifying place.
Yep.
Is space that horrifying in the same way?
Worse.
Why? Because I think the ocean is worse. I'd rather get stuck on Mars. I'd be like, well, at least I'm alone. At least I won't get eaten by a giant land shark. Swims through the dust.
The elements are something that we really don't deal with for the most part.
You're right.
Day to day.
I do live in a dome.
Yeah.
I know. I'm going to open a beer.
Okay.
Just so we all hear it. Oh, yes.
Very nice. Very satisfying.
It was satisfying.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking, now I'm drinking Whale's Tail Pale Ale from Cisco Brewers, Nantucket.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an island
surrounded
by the ocean, which is terrifying.
Surrounded by sharks.
There's a thread full of sharks. Full of the many sharks.
And the M&M's.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So, if you were Mark Watney, do you think you would have the wherewithal to like survive?
He doesn't have many options otherwise.
Yeah.
There's only so much disco he can listen to or reruns of Happy Days.
Oh, that's so great.
Sunday, Monday, Happy Days. Tuesday, Wednesday. No. Every day he's like, I don't know if it's Tuesday or Wednesday.
I don't know what solid is.
Your Wednesday's different than my Wednesday, Fonzie. Right. Yeah. When I hit the jukebox, only disco comes out. Yeah.
Which is great if you like Gloria Estefan.
Yes, sure. I do like Gloria Estefan.
It was either give up or try and survive. He didn't have much in the way of other options.
Yeah.
Counting potatoes.
Yeah.
Right. You know? Yeah. So he's got like the food from the mission, like the freeze-dried food, whatever. And he's got to make that last. And so he's like growing potatoes as like a filler. He's growing them in his own excrement. As fertilizer.
Which is genius.
Which is genius.
It's genius. I wouldn't probably ever think to do that.
No.
It comes out and I'm like, well, this is useless.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But then the other things that he does, like he's very resourceful and he's very, he knows his history, right? Because we're to understand this takes place 2030, something like that, you know, in the...
Not too distant.
Right. The not too distant future.
Yeah.
And he remembers Pathfinder and he knows vaguely where it is and he goes to find it.
Oh, yeah.
He knows how to.
That point is almost 50 years removed.
Exactly. Right. Crazy. Right.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, it's old. It's real old. You know, it's like if we found...
It's like 50. It's like really old.
Well, no, it's like if we found an Apollo lander now.
Right. No, you know? I understand. If you found like a ship from 1860, you'd be like, this ship is really old.
Right.
Though he's sitting there like, somebody's listening who this, who's over 50 years old. And he's like, it's like over 50. It's like really old.
So what I mean is the technology is really old.
Yes.
And so to make that work. Because
technology ages faster than people.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
So like if you walked into, you know, an Apollo lander, you wouldn't know how to, none of us would know how to work.
I'd probably hurt my head a little bit. Yeah.
Probably. Mm. And the computers don't work now like they did then.
There's more processing power in your phone mm-hmm. than there is in the computer that got Apollo 11 to the moon.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
Be like, which is insane. Only having a Texas Instrument on the face of Mars.
Yeah.
Figure it out, go home.
They literally use goodbye. Slide rules. But anyway, like that's remarkable that he was resourceful enough to get that, you know, really, really old piece of technology working and was able to use it in a way.
Or find it in the first place. It's been buried there for... almost 50 years.
Right.
Sandstorms are colossal. And
right.
Any other sort of weather patterns or you just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Do you have a favorite thing that Mark says on his time in Mars? Because he keeps a blog, you know, of all these things. That's how the reader's updated. Is there something that he says in the book that like sticks out to you? Like, this book is amazing. I'm so happy that I read this.
I've got a couple.
Go ahead.
You want to go ahead?
I have one. That, like, really sticks out to me.
So...
It's not going to be a surprise to anybody when I say it.
I think I know what it is. It's one of mine, too, so why don't you go ahead and say it?
Sure. So, they discover that... NASA discovers that Mark is actually alive. They, like, found the message, and they're... It's, what do you think he's thinking about right now? Something, you know, like, something profound. And it jets to him, and he's like, how can Aquaman talk to whales?
Yep.
They're mammals. They're supposed to talk to fish. Stupid. Yeah. That's the key point of the book where I was like, this is one of the greatest things I've ever read.
Yeah.
Because it's also a point that makes a lot of sense that I've never thought about before. They are mammals. How can he talk to them?
Andy's got a point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Andy's a smart man.
He is. I like that one a lot. That's one of mine. But the one that really comes to mind first is... And I apologize because I'm forgetting the exact quote, but there's the moment where he's like, you know, being alone for this long, like really, really like has to, it's really got to mess with your mind. Like, and that's the end of that entry. And the next day he comes back and he's like, did you ever think about how?
Yeah.
With a new zeal.
Yeah. Like
that's like what I was talking about before, that like that hopefulness.
Yes.
And, you know, ingenuity and. Creative spirit that the romantics believed in so much that we forgot about. I knew I could get romanticism in here somewhere.
There you go.
The reason that I can talk about
you
this.
You figured it out.
Yep. Anyway, what's yours? Other things. Yours.
Mine?
Yeah. They don't know who I'm gesturing at because this is audio.
That's true. This is audio entertainment.
Yeah.
This may or may not have been in the books, but Matt Damon really captured it for me. And
butterflies.
It's when he... No, he didn't. No Martian butterflies
that we know of.
That we know about.
Yeah, not verified anyway.
Mm.
When he begins to cultivate the potato plants in his own excrement, and
guys are so formal. Excrement.
Well, he's been kicked so many points, you know, up until that incident, and then they start to pop up, and he's talking to the camera in the dome, and he turns and goes, I am the greatest botanist
on this planet.
And I don't know if that's Matt Damon or if that's actually in the book. But
I don't remember.
It's probably.
It very well could be in the book.
A lot of what he says in the film, which is a great adaptation, one of the best adaptations of a piece of literature that I've seen in a while.
Mm.
A lot of what he says doesn't always take place at the same time, but a lot of that dialogue is pretty direct from his posts in the book, which I like.
Right.
Some of it's different. Some of it's new. Like there's that scene in the film where, I think they do in the book. Do they call it Project Fellowship or something like that, or Project Rivendell in the film.
Movie.
That's movie. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember if that was in the book or not, because Sean Bean is sitting right there. Yeah, Project Elrond. Yeah, and Sean Bean is sitting right there.
Yeah.
And it's great. All of it's great.
It's fantastic.
Let's speak about the movie for a second. That cast is, but what's so great about the story is, like, there's no bad guy in the movie. Nobody at NASA is, like, twirling their fingers like, you know, we're just spending a little too much money. You really should just let him die.
Let him die.
The whole world is like, bring him home.
Right.
Life is good.
Right.
You know, other stuff.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that's one thing that they showed more in the
bring
book.
Bring him home.
Oh, God. Cole
bring
Wilkinson.
Bring him home.
It's beautiful. Tim's hot new single, covering the hits of Les Mis. But yeah, one thing they covered more in the book than they did in the movie, and it's fine that they cut it out of the movie, was just how much the whole planet was like rallying around him, and how there was like a CNN show, a nightly CNN show, like the Watney Report or whatever, that was like devoted to like what's the latest in this 500-day saga of like this guy.
So 4 years total, is that right? Something like this, a couple of years.
I think it's 2 or 3 years, Yeah, it's a long-ass time. A long time to be just alone. And for the first chunk of that, he's not sure if anyone even knows that he's alive. Right. Which is just, like, I don't know how you would keep going. Just, like, not knowing if the thinking the whole planet thinks you're dead.
No one knows that I'm alive every day, but I get out of bed. I don't see what the big deal is.
Yeah.
There are people near.
No. We know you're alive. We just don't care.
Oh, all right. I feel better about that now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Good. Good. As long as you know but don't care, that's fine. I can live with that.
Yeah. We know. We definitely know.
Okay. Cool. So mean.
There's a difference.
So mean. You're lucky I have good self-esteem like Mark Watney.
Yeah.
I am this world's greatest space pirate.
That is true. And he's also the first settler. Because when you grow crops,
colonized.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's you're considered to have colonized.
Because he's the third. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Because he's the third mission.
Right.
So, I also like that there's somewhere in the book where you could tell he's like, he seems like he's just a normal guy, whatever. Like, even though he's extremely intelligent, creative, whatever else, this is the same.
Sure.
Like, maybe when I get back, maybe I can get a girlfriend. You know, like, maybe that's something that'll happen. He's not like, he's got goals, you know? It's just like regular goals. Not like, maybe I'll travel around the world and be super famous. Like, maybe I could start a family. That would be nice. Yeah, just one girlfriend would be nice.
That's it.
It's really only down to Mars kind of guy.
Yeah.
Really down to Mars.
Nice. I'll give you another fist bump for that.
Well done.
That's good. I knew you were here for the reason.
I bring the jokes.
You bring
the,
Rick and I are not very good at jokes. We think we're funny, which is different.
Laugh along with you.
Laughing with us, laughing at us. It's
still laughing.
It's laughing.
Yeah,
it's laughing in ratings.
There you go.
And you know, those are truly the things that I care about in this life: laughing and ratings.
Yeah.
The book. I mean, in the book, I alluded to Mark like, "Oh, maybe I could get a girlfriend." I mean, but then you watch the movie and it's Matt Damon, and you're like, "You could have all the girlfriends."
Yeah.
Even when you smell like you haven't showered in 2 years.
Right.
Yep.
You have to clip all your gross facial hair off.
It was gross facial hair.
That was pretty gross.
Yeah. There's one part at the end of the book. And so in the film, you know how he like slits his suit and he's like Iron Man. And he like goes. And so, but in the book, that's like, he's like, I'll slit my suit like Iron Man. And they're all like,
no.
Are you insane?
Well, that happens in the movie too.
Yeah.
But
he does it anyway.
He does it anyway. But he talks about doing it, and Jessica Chastain, Lynch, the captain, she's like, don't do it, that's an order. And he's like, but Iron Man.
Yeah.
He was perfectly cast for that.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly was not how I imagined Mark Watney looked, just based on personality and whatever else. And Andy Weir doesn't describe characters.
No, he doesn't.
He does not tell you what characters look like. So it's your interpretation. Mark Watney is the everyman, and by being that, he can be any race, any age, and it doesn't matter.
So he's Matt Damon.
Most handsome Matt Damon, who is any race and any age. You're right.
That's true.
Yeah. Racially ambiguous Matt Damon.
Yeah, totally.
Very true.
Totally.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows what Matt Damon really is? He's probably not from Boston, I could tell you that.
No, not
at all.
No.
Nah, Boston. On a total side note, do you see on National Best Friend Day, whatever that was? Mm-hmm. I think it was either Ben Affleck or Matt Damon posted a collage of them of each other as like best friends.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're best friends.
Amazing.
Like, I'm best friends with one of you.
I'm
just going to drink this beer.
Don't know which one it is. Who's to say? I mean, there could be a battle royale, you know, a friendship bowl, if you will.
Next time on Beer with Geeks.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Say that for the teaser.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Someone else say something about this book. I'm going to take this.
So, what do you guys think of the other characters, the other, whether it's people back at NASA, back on Earth trying to save him, whether it's the crew members, do you have a favorite character amongst those other characters?
If I remembered their names, I probably would.
Can you go by what actor played them?
Yeah, I love Kristen Wiig.
Okay, that's the PR woman.
Yeah, the PR woman. She's great.
I forgot she was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's just always there like, oh, we're doing this. And she's like, oh, we doing this now?
Oh, okay, we are?
Because I got to say stuff to people, you know. Yeah. I always love PR people in comedies. They always get the worst job.
Yep.
Like, we made this executive decision that's really outbreaking and everything. And then she's just, okay, that's fine. You know, I'm just the one that takes the heat for things. It's not a big deal.
I'll spin this somehow.
Yeah, right. I really love this. I'll spin this somehow.
Yeah.
How do you, do you go into your office in a spinny chair and I'm spinning it sometimes. To spin it?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Do you do that?
Sometimes.
Maybe she goes in that, my chair doesn't spin. Actually, wait, it does. Spins around really quick.
Oh.
See, I was picturing more of a Darth Vader in his eggshell of doom thing.
Darth Vader definitely spins around in that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you see it turn around. It definitely is 360.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 Darth Vader, you need it on the bridge. No. Yeah.
What about you, Frank? Do you have a favorite?
Alternate? I like the character who in the movie was played by Chiwetel Ejiofor. Mm-hmm. Who's
say that five times fast.
Chiwetel Ejiofor, Chiwetel Ejiofor. I got two.
You got two. That's good. That's good.
I like.
Great actor.
He's an amazing actor. I like the character in the book, and I was really happy that it was played by him because he's an amazing actor. But I like how he's sort of Watney's equal in terms of they come to the same realizations about the same things. Mm-hmm. So Watney makes the observation about oh, I'm a pirate because I'm plundering and stuff. And he makes that comment to the people back on Earth and it's Chiwetel Ejiofor's character who's well, technically he would be a pirate. And he told us. He explained it to us already. It's fine. Don't make us go through this again.
Yeah. We already heard the joke once at Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
You don't have to say it again.
Right.
But we have to say your whole name every time.
Every time.
Yeah.
I like that. I like how he figures out that he's going to find Pathfinder. I like that. So I like that he's the one who's one step behind, but always just catching up. And if it wasn't for him, they probably wouldn't have gotten.
That is a great scene.
In the
cafeteria.
Yes.
When he pulls the poster from you assume the tourism
shop. Right.
And he just starts marking it up and he's it's fine. I work here.
So good.
What's the level of boss you need to be to go into a staff room and take something off the wall and start writing on it though? Because I can't go into my job. I can't go into another teacher's classroom, pull a poster off the wall, and start writing. Right. It's okay, I work here. yeah, but we do the same job. I don't go into your room and write on your stuff. I don't go into your room and write on the Infinity Gauntlet that's hanging up. Yeah, that's
nice.
It's the swear jar.
Oh.
If they're swearing, it's a piggy bank. It's closed, and there's a slit in the glove, so they quarter every time they swear.
That's awesome.
And then the money goes to charity.
What if they don't have a quarter?
They have to give anything up. They get basically give anything up to soybeans.
Swipe
swipe that card.
Venmo the Infinity Gauntlet?
I wish. They have to, it's anything up to the dollar bill because I don't want to take their lunch money.
Okay.
And so, but other kids, if they don't have anything, they get a detention.
Uh-huh.
That's the trade-off. So sometimes kids will pay for other kids.
So the poor kids get detention is what you're saying.
No. No. That's not what I'm saying at all.
I'm kidding.
No, when you say it like that, it makes me sound terrible, though. Take it back.
Maybe you are.
Take it back.
I can't help it if you're being your worst self right now. Anyway.
Because David's here.
So.
Favorite character? Real quick.
Yes.
Yeah.
I forgot you were here.
It's all right. It's all right. You're not used to a third person. Anyway.
Well, person is pushing it, but okay.
Yeah. All right.
Third entity in the room.
Yeah. Favorite character.
So it's almost a tie. I'm sorry.
Mm. Mars and the god Mars.
No, yeah. And the god Mars, yeah. No, Donald Glover.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible as, I forget.
I can't remember his name either. Yeah, there's so many names.
Boy, genius, yes. Scientist, kid.
Peter Parker.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Miles Morales.
Continue.
And, Jessica Chastain as Lynch. You can really feel the angst that she has. You know, do I put these five astronauts who have already been up in space a year plus? Do we add on another? What was it?
Year and a half, or two years, something like that.
To
get one more guy, but I left him behind, so I feel responsible, and it's up to the crew. You kind of go through the motions with her as she analyzes and poses that whole situation up to the group, and then when she finds out and she feels awful, it's great.
Fantastic.
She does a great job.
Yeah. She crushed it in that movie. She crushed it.
She crushes it in every movie.
She really does. True.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. She's what was that great? Hurt Locker. Zero Dark Thirty.
Great film.
So good.
What's the?
It's another movie where a federal employee just writes on glass whenever they want to.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this.
30 days circle. What level are you that you can do this?
Yeah.
I don't just walk into your office.
Write on glass? Yeah. I gotta clean that. She was also great in Crimson Peak, which is a movie not a lot of people saw, but I highly recommend that film. It was excellent. Since we're talking romanticism, that movie is definitely of the Gothic tradition, and I highly recommend it. Yeah, I'm done being an English teacher. You know what? It's summer vacation, and I got to get it out somewhere.
Got to scratch the itch somehow.
Yeah, oh my God. And so, I'm sorry, you got to get it all summer.
There you go.
All summer, I'm just going to be like, transcendentalism. Yeah.
Keep it fresh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what we do here on Beer with Geeks. We keep it fresh. Any final thoughts, guys?
I would rather get stuck on Mars than go deep into the ocean, as I said before.
All right.
There are not sharks or giant squids or fish that glow in the dark on Mars that we know about. Mm. But all those things that could kill you are definitely in the ocean with some other things that I don't know about. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Ishmael.
At least you can see on Mars. Can't see in the bottom of the ocean.
Unless it's a dust storm, but whatever. What, any final remarks, things you wanted to mention but didn't get a chance to mention?
I just wish that he had driven that extra 5 kilometers to visit the Martian plantation.
Would have been nice. Would have been cool.
Not a thing. Both of you.
I wish Sean Jones would have made an appearance.
If they have a plantation, they're probably friendly. Just saying.
Yeah.
If history tells us anything, people with plantations are friendly, right? Right? Huh? No?
Uh-huh.
I need to go to school again.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think so. Yep.
Please revisit 4th grade.
Yeah. All right. Well,
they were very friendly at Plymouth Plantation. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
That's different.
Yeah.
That's a different. Yeah, we'll talk later. Okay. So you can find us on the internet at beerwithgeeks.com. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us anywhere podcasts are found. And you can find us on Twitter at Beer with Geeks. You can find us on Facebook.com/Beer with Geeks. You can find us in all those lovely places. Leave us a review on iTunes or any of the places you like to frequent. The Overcast app is a great place to, you know, star and like podcasts as well. It helps us out quite a bit. And that is all I have to say on that matter. Damon, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me again.
It was a pleasure, an honor,
and
come back anytime.
Thank you.
This was your second appearance, right?
Second, yep. Yeah, Jessica Jones and Mesh.
That's right, Jessica Jones. Well, you're welcome for number 3 anytime. Make it a hat trick.
Thank you very much.
Frank, it was always a struggle.
Well,
as it always is.
But we made it through.
Yeah, it's fine.
So,
yeah.
That's fine. So, all I really have to say at this point is cheers.